Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Past few Sundays, our epistle lesson has been on the book of Peter. Peter's epistle is considered a general letter to all Christians scattered throughout Asia Minor. And its purpose, if you weren't here a couple weeks ago, is to exhort the Christians to be steadfast in their faith. If through all kinds of suffering and trials and good works, he strengthens their faith through the divine promise of salvation to come. He teaches people how to live the Christian life, to be watchful in prayer, enduring trials to find comfort in the living Christ. And he begins his chapter by saying, Christian, you've been born again to a living hope, to the resurrection of Jesus, to a salvation that can never spoil, to inheritance for you. And you were ransomed from your futile ways, not with perishable things like gold or silver, but with the holy, precious blood of Christ. You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding word of God. This is what Peter says, you Christians, and he's saying to us, this is your position in Christ. This is what Christ has done for you. As a baptized Christian, he has called you. He has placed his mark upon you. But then he pivots, and he says to the Christians, in this you rejoice, though, in this what God has done for you, but for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. So the testing of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, is tested by fire. And the praise and glory to God. In some translations, these trials, it says that you are tested so that your faith may prove to be genuine. Peter's saying to the early Christians, and he's saying to us, that we are going to suffer all kinds of trials and persecutions for our faith in this life. The word trial in the Greek means to test, or temptation, or putting to proof, to refine us so that we may endure. It's a period of time allowed by God to strengthen and refine our faith so that we can endure to the end. I can remember back in high school running cross country, which is a 3.1 mile race. And in order to be in condition, we had to practice running five consecutive 660-yard races. And these races were the endurance training in order to get us in shape for the main race. Otherwise, we wouldn't qualify. And let me tell you, they were grueling. Many couldn't finish and dropped out after two or three runs. The problem with the endurance was not the beginning or the ending. It was in the middle, that grueling time in between, that seeing that finish line, going to make it. And Peter is saying that as Christians, we suffer those 660-yard races. It's a period of time allowed by God to strengthen, refine, and prove that our faith may have endurance. And we all face trials and temptations in this life. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And you may feel like your life is spinning out of control with many burdens to bear right now. Maybe you just want to give up or quit. Or some maybe feel like God has forgotten your prayers. They seem to go unanswered. Like King David in Psalm 13, he says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? You been there? Yeah, this comes from the man of God, own heart as he struggles with trials and tribulations. And many times we feel the same way as King David, wrestling with our thoughts and having sorrow in our hearts. Maybe your testing is an illness you're going through, not knowing the outcome. Or struggling with anxiety or depression, financial problems, family issues, addiction, which is so rampant in our culture today. The list goes on and on and on, the things that we have to deal with in life. Maybe it's the same old sin that haunts us, casting you down in guilt and shame, doubting the forgiveness that we have in Christ when we confess our sins. Yet Peter is saying, in these times we rejoice because these trials are testing our faith. Whatever trial or tribulation we go through, God is testing us and refining us what to be in the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. We are to be like Christ. Well, in chapter 5 of our epistle this morning, Peter doesn't just drop the Christians, early Christians, off the cliff and say, "All right, go on, endure. It's on your own to do it." No, he gives them three encouragements or instructions that I want to share with you this morning from 1 Peter 5. First, he says in verse 6, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift up you up in due time." And here, "Cast all your anxiety on him, for he cares for you." So Peter is encouraging this entire Christians and church, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility. Why? Because God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And humbling yourself before God is acknowledging that God has everything under control. We don't. Humbling yourself is total dependence on God every day for everything. How many of us, when we run into trouble, do we right away come to go and try to fix things, or do we stop and do we pray? How many of us humble ourselves by casting our anxieties on him? You know, cast in the Greek means to throw away. Like you would throw a grenade once the pin has been removed. You better throw it away, or else you're in big trouble. But see, God calls us to recognize our inability to carry all our anxieties onto him. He calls us to cast our anxieties on him. And sometimes that's saying it. That's saying, "Lord, I'm anxious, I give you my anxieties. Lord, I'm struggling with sin, I give you this sin." And why does God ask us to do that? Because he cares for you. God is not out to torture us, but to continually pour out his mercy and grace in our time of need. So next time you feel anxious, and next time you feel distressed, say, "Lord, I give this to you. I don't want this." And that's something we need to do continually, because you know what? The anxiety comes back. The temptation of sin comes back. But we continually have a God that is with us that says, "Cast it on me here. I'll take it. I'll take it. Give it to me." Psalm 103 says, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." God is your father, a father who is gracious and compassionate. He cares for you deeply and wants you to cast all your burdens on him. So what anxieties do you need to cast on the Lord this morning? Is it spiritual, a sin battle you're dealing with? Addiction you can't overcome? Is it physical? In the realm of health or finances, work? Is it relational? Family issues? Things that you're struggling with? God invites you to take all of these anxieties and worries and cast them on him continuously. And then secondly, Peter says, resist the devil. Be sober-minded and watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brothers throughout the world. We're all under assault by the devil. As a baptized Christian, Satan is out to destroy your faith. In fact, Martin Luther said, if you only knew how many arrows the devil has pointed at you. Then he says in his famous hymn, a mighty fortress is our God. One little word will chase the devil away, and that is Jesus. And he says to be sober-minded, to be awake, because Satan roams around. He knows our weaknesses, and he's seeking to destroy your faith, causing you to despair and give up. But we can stand firm in our faith in Jesus Christ by saying, I am baptized, I'm claimed by God. Satan, get away. And sometimes you have to speak that. Sometimes I find myself in such spiritual warfare, I have to say, Satan, in the name of Jesus, leave. And he leaves. Why? Because one little word casts him away. Then third, Peter says, after you have suffered a little while, notice it says a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, and strengthen and establish you. Did you hear that? God gives more grace when we go through trial and temptation. He gives more grace. When we sin, God gives more grace. When we suffer, God gives more grace. He's never done giving grace and pouring out his love upon us. And I love this verse, as Paul says in Corinthians, that our light and momentary afflictions or trials, They're bearing us up for an eternal way to glory. Our trials and tribulations are for just a little while. They're momentary. So Peter's saying in our reading, as you go through various trials, humble yourself before God. Cast your anxiety on him. For God's promise is to restore, strengthen, and establish you in the true faith. Do you believe that? That's his promise. Brothers and sisters, our God is gracious and compassionate that he sent his Son to rescue us. Jesus lived a perfect life on our behalf, never giving in to pride, always remaining humble. He cast his anxieties on his Father. Jesus humbled himself by becoming human flesh for us. He humbled himself by going to the cross to die for our sins. In humility, he resisted lashing out and was led like a lamb to the slaughter. He was despised and rejected. He suffered bitterly, but yet stood firm. He trusted his Father totally to complete his work, and through him, at the proper time, he would be exalted, and he was exalted in his resurrection from the dead. And he was raised from the dead that we might have new life. It's through the cross and suffering that we see God's graciousness and mercy. It's in the suffering and trial that God works out everything for our good. It's in the cross that we find the forgiveness of sins and resurrection, new life. And it's in the cross that we find grace and mercy that we never really would have had we not gone through the period of suffering or trial. Our trials, brothers and sisters, are just for a little while. But as we go through them, we have the promise of a Savior who was with us and will restore, strengthen, and establish us. I remember when I was a child, My mother used to pray with us before bed. And it was a prayer that stuck with me through my entire adult life. And I still pray it often when I find myself in distress or afflicted, or that I cannot finish that 660-yard race. And it's this prayer. Lord Jesus, who does love me, O spread thy wings above me, keep me from all harm. Though evil would assail me, thy mercies will not fail me. I rest in thy protecting arms. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Let us rise.